Genesis chapter 4. Let's hear God's word. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain, so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. We thank God for his word. We're going to spend our time this morning considering this account in the book of Genesis of Cain and Abel. I think that most of us know the story of Cain and Abel. It has become the pattern story for all stories of conflict between brothers. For example, you might have read a very early novel by Geoffrey Archer called Cain and Abel. He spelt Cain with a K, and it was the name of a bank. But two brothers, one in banking, the other from a very poor background, who eventually crawls his way up to the hotel business, and they hate each other, and it's a story of hate and murder. Well, in the original true story, Cain begins to hate his brother Abel, and that hatred becomes anger, or rather the other way round, I guess. The anger becomes a deep hatred, and then that hatred becomes malice, and the malice then begins to create in Cain a plot to murder his brother, and he carries out that murder one day. When we read the Bible story in Genesis 4, we are meant to have sympathy, of course, with Abel, because Abel is the one who is hard done by. He's the one whose offering was accepted by God. His brother's was not. But Abel is the one who's been wronged by Cain. Abel is the first human being to ever die. Have you thought about that? He's the first human being ever to die. And it wasn't a natural death. You'd have thought that there at the beginning of the world, when God created a beautiful world, a Garden of Eden, created Adam and then created Eve from Adam and put them in that garden to look after it, to till the ground, to name the animals, take care of the world that God had made, you would think that the very first person to die would be Adam. You never expect the son to die before the father or the mother. It's not natural. And it wasn't a natural death either. It was murder. He's the first human being ever to be murdered violently at the hands of his own brother. So we are naturally drawn to have sympathy towards Abel. But I want to ask you honestly, don't you find a bit of sympathy with Cain? Don't you understand him? What are the effects of rejection? You felt it in your life. Most of us, I say all of us, at some point in our lives, are rejected. And that feeling of rejection can lead, as it did with Cain, to looking downcast. He had a heavy heart. He had a downcast face. His countenance was downcast. We understand that. He's just been rejected, not by his brother, not even by his parents, but by God. God has rejected his offering. God has not had any favor shown towards Cain and his offering. Don't we sense that there's a little bit of injustice going on here? Why should one offering be accepted and the other one rejected? What's the difference? Isn't God being partial? Isn't God showing favoritism? When that happens in family life, we quite rightly find it distasteful because we want to see equality. We want to see acceptance of every child, including their differences. These two boys were different. They had different jobs and occupations, but there's nothing wrong in that. There's nothing better about being a shepherd than there is being a farmer. After all, God had told Adam to take care of the land and the animals. All that was happening was that within the family there was a diversification. Cain chose to till the land, and Abel looked after the flocks. It was a very economic way of organizing family life when there were only four people alive. So we can see that they're different. But different doesn't mean unequal. So what is the problem? God seems to be showing some sort of favoritism towards Abel. And even if we don't have any sympathy with Cain, because we do find murder abhorrent, and we know that it is morally wrong, a wickedness that deserves punishment, and so we understand that Cain needs to be punished, I'm sure we have questions nonetheless. Cain was a farmer, and he brought an offering from what was grown. What's wrong with that? It's what he had to bring. And so he brought it. He offered it to the Lord. That's a good thing. Surely he was a religious man. It'd be hard not to be in those early years of the world, because after all, his very own father had been created by God, and his mother and father had had that close communion physically with God, so that they'd actually met God and walked with him and listened to his voice. So Cain and Abel naturally were men who believed and understood about God. And they were worshippers, because worship is something that is within the human heart as created beings in the image of God. We have to worship something. And so Cain was a worshipper, a religious man. Isn't that a good thing? Surely it was good enough to bring this offering to God. And then, why should Abel's offering be accepted, or as the Bible says, looked upon favorably, and his not? Wasn't God really expecting too much of Cain? It really does all come down to one question. Why was Abel's offering accepted where Cain's was not? Why did God look with favor upon Abel and his offering, but he did not look with favor on Cain and his offering? Now you might say, well, that's a very interesting thing for us to be thinking about this morning. And you might say, yeah, I'm interested in that. I'd like to know the answer to that. But I want to just press a little bit further before we go into that. Why is that important for you and for me? We live thousands of years after Cain and Abel. Why should we be interested in whether Cain's offering or Abel's offering was the right one? Well, this is harvest. And we've all brought gifts, offerings. These gifts at the front came from you and from others who are not here this morning. So we've brought things. We've brought offerings. How do we approach God? How can we come to God? Is God unpredictable? Is God hard to please? How can we know that we are accepted? Well, this is one of the most important questions of life. This is the very first time in the Bible, Cain and Abel, the very first time in the Bible that we read of human beings approaching God in worship. So it's absolutely crucial then that we understand the message of this story. It's not that just there for our entertainment, it's there for our instruction. The way that God teaches us is through story. That's why the Bible is such a great book, because it teaches us through story. We are to learn how God behaves and how we are to behave through the incredible stories that we find in the Bible, these true accounts. And what this account does is it reveals the biggest mistake that people make today with regard to God. You might have heard, you might even have said, I will give God whatever I can. I'll give God what I can spare. I'm busy. My life is busy. It's filled with lots of things. But I'll try to worship God when I can. And I'll worship him in a way that I'm comfortable with. I'll do my best. I can't do more than I'm able to do. I do hope that God will be pleased with me. I hope that by my worship and by the things that I bring and by the places I go and by the fact that I come and worship, I hope that's enough. I do hope that God will accept me. I hope that when I die, I'll go to heaven. Can't really be sure, but after all, as long as I do my best, surely that's right. I worship God, I try to live a good life, I just hope it's enough. You might say, well, what's wrong with that? Well, Cain shows us that everything is wrong with that. Everything. Because that was Cain's approach. There are a number of clues in the passage that we read, enough for us to really get to the heart of the problem. But you've got to look carefully. So much better then that the New Testament tells us straight out. The New Testament gives us the answer. New Testament answers this question. Why was Abel's offering accepted, but Cain's was not? The Bible tells us. We read it in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. I'll read it to you again. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks even though he is dead. The reason that Abel's offering was accepted is, first of all, because Abel offered a better sacrifice. The sacrifice itself was a better one. The clues are there in our passage. You notice that Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil. He brought some of the fruits of the soil. Now, that indicates to us that there wasn't a lot of thought that went into it. Just some of the fruit. Just picked a few and then took them to God. Now, that is emphasized when we look at Abel's offering, because Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. You might say, well, what's the difference really there? Well, there's an obvious difference, isn't it, that Abel brought something that was living. He brought an animal. And we might immediately think that that's the difference. Abel brought a living thing. He brought an animal to God, whereas Cain brought some things that were inanimate. He'd just grown them in the ground, carrots and parsnips and whatever it might have been. You might also say, well, no, the big difference is that Abel killed that lamb. Oh, well, notice some of them, not just one. So blood had to be spilt. But no. You see, that would be unfair to Cain. Cain was a farmer. Abel was a shepherd. And so they were both bringing what was appropriate to their particular callings in life. Was it better because Abel brought a lamb? You know, because you've read the Bible, or at least you've heard it, you know that lambs are really important in the Bible. But that comes later. This is early on. This is just beginning. God has not established any system of sacrifice yet. We know that later on with Noah, Abraham, and Moses, there will be the requirement to bring a blood sacrifice. Blood will have to be shed before people can approach God. But that's not what's in this passage. And anyway, Abel and Cain didn't want to get forgiveness from God, which it is necessary to have a blood sacrifice. They just wanted to offer to God in worship to God, to just show that they loved God and they wanted his acceptance. So what was the difference, really? The difference was that Abel brought the very best that he had. Abel thought about what he was doing far more deeply than Cain did. And it cost Abel more to bring the very best from the firstborn of his flock, the best of the flock that was offered to God. And we find this through the Bible in several places. In 2 Samuel, we find that David wants to give an offering to God. There's been a terrible plague, and God has finally stop the plague, and David wants to build an altar, and so he wants to buy the very place where the angel of God stopped and the plague ceased. But it belongs to somebody else. It belongs to a man called Araunah, the Jebusite. And so what he does is the king says, I'd like to buy that. 2 Samuel 24 and verse 23. O king, Araunah gives all this to the king. May the Lord your God accept you. But the king replied to Araunah, no, I insist on paying you for it. I will not sacrifice to the Lord, my God, burnt offerings that cost me nothing. You see, there was a cost involved in the worship of God, a personal cost. And Abel counted that cost and was willing to pay it. Cain was not. He just brought some of the fruit of the ground. But Abel brought the very best that he possibly had. Again, the Lord Jesus says the same thing in Mark and chapter 12. And you know this very well, as Jesus is watching people putting money into the offering plates. Mark chapter 12 and verse 43. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she out of her poverty put in everything, all she had to live on. It cost her something. There was a personal sacrifice involved. It was a better sacrifice because it was the very best that he had. And that is a challenge to you and to me. It's not the end of the story. There's more. But that in itself is a challenge. do we give of our best to God? Do we give our best years to God? Or do we say, well, I'll serve God once I've been as successful as I want to be in my chosen career. Then perhaps I'll have a bit of time for God. Maybe in my retirement years, maybe then I'll serve God. Are we giving the best of our years to God? Are we giving the best of our abilities to God's service? The best of our work? Or is God really a bit of an afterthought? What's left over? Or what comes easy to hand? That's the challenge of Cain and Abel here. Surely God deserves the very best that we sinful humans can give him. Not because he needs it. God didn't need the fruit of the ground from Cain, and he didn't need the lamb from Abel. God clearly tells us that in Psalm 50. In Psalm 50, God is having a conversation with us through the psalmist. Psalm 50 and verse 7. Hear, O my people, and I'll speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I don't rebuke you for your sacrifices or your burnt offerings, which are ever before me. I have no need of a bull from your stall or of goats from your pens, for every animal of the forest is mine and the cattle on 1,000 hills. I know every bird on the mountains and the creatures of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. God is saying, I don't actually need the sacrifices. God doesn't need them. And yet Abel brought the best, and it was accepted. Which leads us to the second thing. Abel offered it to God in the acceptable way. That is the most important thing of all. As Hebrews makes it clear, by faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. Abel came in faith. He trusted God. He believed God. He wanted that acceptance from God in God's way. He knew that it wasn't just a matter of giving God something. It was a matter of God not just accepting the offering, but accepting the offerer, the worshiper. And Abel was concerned that he himself should be accepted by God. And that is why he came in faith. In one way, the offering was not the important thing. It was the willingness and the desire of the heart that was important. New Testament tells us this as well. 2 Corinthians and chapter 8. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul is speaking about people bringing money to the church and putting it in the offering. And he says it doesn't matter how much you put in. That's not the important thing. You know, what's important is what's in your heart. So 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 12. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what he does not have. God looks on the heart. God loves a cheerful giver. He looks on the heart of our giving. And this was missing in Cain. He was only interested in bringing something that could be right and reflect well on himself. But he wasn't really being concerned to be accepted by God himself. And that was where Cain was different from his brother Abel. And as Abel came in faith, so the book of Hebrews tells us that he was a righteous man. He came in faith, and through his faith, God accepted him. God made him righteous because of faith. Jesus tells us that Abel was a righteous man. Matthew 23, verse 35. So here's the question. How can we be accepted by God? How can we be right with him and know that our worship is accepted by him? Well, the answer to that, again, is in Hebrews. Even though Abel is dead, he still speaks to us. Today, he's speaking to us. The last thing that Hebrews tells us about Abel is that he speaks today, even though he is dead. So what does he say? Well, let's finish by summarizing what Abel teaches us. First of all, Abel teaches us this. It's more important that you are accepted than that your offering is accepted. Whatever you try to bring to God, That's not the important thing. The important thing is you. You personally. You need to be accepted by God. God looked with favor on Abel and his sacrifice, his offering. The next thing that Abel tells us is that God is holy and God is good. So you must approach him in the right way, with a desire to show him your love and with a desire to please him, not just to discharge some sort of a religious duty. That doesn't find acceptance with God. It is what is in your heart coming to this holy God. So you must come in faith, trusting God and looking to be accepted by him. And you must come in Christ as the only acceptable way to God. You see, as the Bible goes on, it does reveal to us so much more about how we can be accepted by God. And we do discover that in order to be truly accepted and to be forgiven by God and to be made righteous, we need to come to Jesus in faith. Because Jesus is the only acceptable sacrifice. Abel's lamb couldn't save him. Cain's fruit couldn't save him. Whatever they offered wouldn't save them. It's only God who can save, and he does so by providing for himself the sacrifice, which is Jesus. So Ephesians 1 verse 6 says that we are accepted in the Beloved, New King James Version. And Romans 1 verse 17 says it's by faith that we are made righteous. The righteousness comes by faith, first to last. So whatever you bring is never going to be enough. Even if you sacrificed yourself, that would not be enough. Nothing you ever bring will ever be able to make you acceptable to God. You have to come in faith. You have to come trusting in what God has done. You have to come trusting in the sacrifice that God has provided for you, which is Jesus. God provides for himself the Lamb, and we have to come to Jesus as we are, in all of our nakedness, and saying, we can't bring anything, we've got nothing. Nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to your cross I cling. That's how we have to come to God, and that is the way that we will be accepted by God. So if you're still saying, well, I think I'm good enough, I'm trying to live a good enough life, I'll do my best, I'll try and worship God in whatever way I can, I'll try and bring some offerings, I'll put a bit of money into the church and so on, believe me, that's never going to make you right with God, because God says that's not the way. God wants you, your heart, your all. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And everything's been done. God has done it all. All you have to do is to come, and to come in faith, believing and trusting in Jesus. And then, like Abel, you will be accepted and you will belong to God. And then your whole life will be an offering to God to bring him praise and glory. Abel still speaks to us today. Let's listen to what he has to say.